Our teaching is understanding the grace of God. Hallelujah. Understanding grace. Grace, it's a wonderful subject. We ended our teaching the last time. I just sort of gave a synopsis about the book of Romans and the book of Hebrews about what they are. They call them the twin epistles. It'll help you when you read them to see it's dealing the areas of grace. And I said that Romans reveals the inadequacy of the law due to man's moral dilemma. Just understand, the subject of grace is dealing, the book of Romans talks a lot about faith. And under the law, to be blessed, it was by works. You did certain things and God would bless you. This is one of the things that I've had much problem over the years, as even as a younger Christian, of the teaching that people do on the areas even of finances. They talk about giving, about tithing, especially the subject of tithing. They always go over and take Malachi and use Malachi as for the church for tithing. You can't use Malachi for the church. It's by the law. And it even states it. You know, they're supposed to tithe. If they will do what the word says, then they will believe God will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessing. If they will do, in other words, it's not grace. It's law. It's work. If you do the work, you get the blessing. You do the work, you get the blessing. That's not an ours. We are through the new birth. We have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. I'm already blessed with prosperity. God's given to me. Now, all I have to do is yield by faith the grace to enjoy it. That's all I have to do. But I don't have to work to get it. See, and it's people tell you, well, if you give your money, then God will bless you. No, God's already blessed you, and that's why we give. See, in the Old Testament, you gave to be blessed. In the New Testament, we give because we're blessed. This is why a lot of people tithe and give money and never get really much back from God, because they're never operating in faith. They think God owes them money because they gave money. See, now God, I gave, but that's what they're told by ministers. You put the money in. So really what they do is they try to use grace as an investment system. I invest so much money that I get so much money back. See, they're trying to operate out of a system. I'm owed this. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to that place. If you can only get money on that range or whatever, then money is not given by faith. I was years ago was at a ministers conference, and all these ministers sitting there, and the speaker got up and said, I don't get money by my giving. I get it by my faith. And I mean, a silence went over the place. You would have thought Jesus just left or something. I don't know. It was like, oh my God. So they got their holy water out and threw it at him and made crosses with their fingers and, sacrilege. Now, we do it by faith. We give because we love. We give because we love. Hallelujah. So we want to get over there. We got to walk in those places and understand those things. Also, we took the Hebrews. Hebrews deals with the inadequacy of the law due to ceremonial insufficiencies because they were only shadows. This is a wonderful thing of reading Hebrews because it talks about the ministry of Jesus as the high priest. There's a difference between the high priest and the Old Testament. That was all run in types and shadows. You can't compare it to Jesus. The Jesus is the high priest is so much more glorious. And it's an eternal. It's not forever. It wasn't for the lifespan of a person. So that's why he can make an eternal covenant. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be glad the old covenant wasn't the eternal covenant. Hallelujah. We're on the good side. Glory to God. Now we want to look tonight, we're going to look at dealing with the areas of works and grace. In Romans, we're going to turn to Romans, the 11th chapter, works and dealing in the areas of works and grace. And in Romans, the 11th chapter, and I'm going to read, verses 5 and 6. It says, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. The remnant is always according to the election of grace. See, grace does the election, just like you got saved by grace. This isn't dealing with a certain group just got the grace, the others. No, it's the election of grace. You can't get into the kingdom of God any other way. Through faith, through grace, that's it. You're the election of grace is always by faith. there's always ones who accept by grace and there's ones who don't. Now in Israel. Now so listen, verse 6 says then, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer work. In other words, great. We need to deal the what the difference is, and then we'll talk about this as we go along. We're talking about grace and works. Works, we're going to find, is dealing with the areas of what you earn. It's what you've earned. Grace, you were saved by grace. In other words, you responded to God by faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. We just received Christ. That's what we did. We got all the benefit that Jesus Christ has based upon grace because you could not earn it. You couldn't earn it. There was no way to do it. There was no way to work to get the blessing of God. So, you know, in Ephesians tells us that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Being blessed with every spiritual blessing came. We have it. See, one of the things that we need to be careful about, because people begin trying to earn it. We have two sides that run at this today. We have the side of works over here who say, you know, yes, God gave us this, but here, you know, we're trying to get it. No, we're not. We're trying to get it. We respond to it. What I already have the faith. When you sit down and you look, say your bank accounts, and you look at what you have in the bank, and you go down to draw money out, you go down there because of the information. And really, you're absolutely operating on a type of faith. It's on the information that you have about your account. And so you walk down there, you don't see the money in the bank, but you have these numbers that you have down because you keep track, which a lot of people don't anymore, but you kept track of your money in there. And so you go down and either you want to deposit money or you want to transfer money or you want to do something. You do it on the basis of that information you have. You're not going down there to try to get that money or get them. That money's there. You're operating on the fact that your money is there and it's all, you already have it. It belongs to you. Well, see, works isn't that. Works is God has a system. Works does this. Works puts, yes, God has money, but I got to try to get it from him. So what do? If I give, then I can get him to give me. It don't belong to me. Amen. You can't pray a prayer of faith if you don't know it belongs to you before you prayed. It's already to your account. I could say this today for all of us sitting right here. We have millions of dollars already in our heavenly account. God is not going to deposit there. It is there. What we do is use faith. Faith hooks up with the grace of God to receive what he's already given. It is not trying to get it. Trying to get it is works. Most people who are taught on how to get money financially are doing it by works. We have to give the money to get God to say, okay. When in 2014, when Jesus spoke to me about this subject, he spoke to me about it and he was quite disturbed because he said, this system of you have to give to get this thing, to get God to give it to you, you had to do that. He said, it's worked well for the ministers to make a lot of money. But he said, they fleece my people. They use it. He wasn't happy at all. He's very angry what ministers do in getting money. You know, I've heard ministers do this all the time. They'll say, you know, person will come, well, we've been given, and why isn't this thing working? Well, you just need to give more. Well, giving money is about this much to do with getting money back. In the church world today, it's the whole yardstick. Why? Because ministries make money following this pattern. It's how they do it with people. But you can't blame the ministers. The people love it. They follow along with it like a bunch of dumb sheep. they just go along. That's one thing. It's why you don't see me spend a lot of time. I don't spend no time trying to drag money out of people. It's not my job. I teach you the word, and if you won't follow it, tough. I'm going to be blessed and you're not. I'm going to follow grace through faith and I'm going to be blessed. See, it is the dumbest thing, but the whole thing is, I'm trying to get something out of somebody. See, people become a target for people of what they want, what they'd like to have. You don't want to ever go there. If you're about trusting God, you want to get the thing is, God wants us to look at him. We want something, look at him. He's blessed. Grace is a phenomenal thing. When you think about every spiritual blessing, I don't even know what every spiritual blessing is, but it's already been given to us. What you think about it? It's already been given. See, that's grace. It has been given to you on the day you got born again. First of all, you had earned nothing. The new birth is not mercy. Mercy is we're going to talk about it later, but I'll just say it now. Mercy is about getting something you didn't earn. So you're trying to get something you didn't earn. You did something wrong. You know what grace is? Grace is getting something you didn't deserve at all. Grace gives you what you never deserved at all. There's not one human being that ever deserved salvation. No human being has ever deserved salvation. None. So see, we couldn't approach God on the basis of anything of, even we couldn't come to Him and say, Lord, I know I messed up, but, you know, help me with this. God couldn't have jumped in and helped man from that stirking pit. It wouldn't have been grace. See, God set up a system of grace, and it's so great, man keeps, the church world runs on mercy. It's all they run on. They run on mercy, and they don't ever hook up with the grace, and they don't understand the great blessings that they could have. I want what I don't deserve. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't deserve nothing good, but God gave it to me through Jesus Christ. Grace brought it. So now I have it. See, that's hard. This is why people today, like I heard a minister, not last Sunday, the Sunday before, and he said, well, we just all sin every day. See, he's a sin preacher. Now, he don't see himself as that. He's a sin preacher. We all sin every day. In other words, he has sin consciousness. In other words, I don't fit into grace. We don't fit into grace at all. Grace was so weak. We're still all sinners. We still can't quit sinning. Sin still lords over us when the Bible says it don't, and yet it still does. And they preach it does. See, all it leads men to is this thing, have mercy on me, God. No, I want grace. Give me grace. I will take grace over mercy any day. Mercy's good. We want mercy, but I want grace. Cause mercy cannot do 0.1% of what grace can do for a person. Can't. It can't do that. Hallelujah. We want to go that Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, sin earns something. Sin has wages to it because it has earned. You have earned death. In other words, that's what you have earned. You've earned that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift, well, the gift is grace. That's what it is, the gift. The gift was grace. Grace brought eternal life. That's what you got out of the gift of God. You did not earn it. Your sin earned you death. That was the wages that was coming our way. Every one of us, the wages that were coming our way was death. That's what we earned. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we were given eternal life. God gave us that, not by wage. It's a free gift. Undeserved, no merit. We had no merit to stand on to get it. And yet God gave it to man. In spite of all he did and all he was, God gave it freely to man. It's phenomenal to think of. Grace is, I've said this numbers of times in this teaching, grace is so much better than it's preached. So much better. We have too much limits on it. If we earn it when we're responding to grace, you're not responding to God on the things that you have earned. See, I always consider this, it's a reproach to God if I would bring my giving to His face. Because that's a reproach to grace. Saying, God, you owe me money because I gave this money. I can tell you names, big name preachers I've heard say, take your offerings and stuff, keep it marked down and take it before God and tell Him, look what I've given this and that stuff and I'm believing for this. And I thought, what a reproach. And these guys are the big faith teachers. That's what they call them. But they learn how to get money. They learn how to do this stuff. And they tell people, you take your giving before God. I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to do that. Because this is what they teach. You know, you give and give and give, and then you come to a certain level, a time when you hit where you've given enough that you can get what you were believing for. That is works. Jesus told me personally it was. He talked to me about it because I asked him a question. I said, you know, ministers come along. I said, people give. And I said, then they come along and is it working? And they say, you just haven't given enough money. And this is what he told me. He said, if you had to give up to a certain amount, and he used these terms. He said, if you asked me for $1 million, he said, and you had to give up to a certain amount till you could receive that, he said, you would have to know what that amount is to be in faith. You'd have to know exactly what it is. Or he said, you couldn't be in faith. He said, you wouldn't know if I gave it to you. So if I have to reach to a certain amount, that means that there's a line set there for me. That I have to attain to that line. In other words, grace didn't give me the money. I worked to get there. I invested a certain amount of money and I hit the jackpot on the stock market. This is what it is, the most of the church world. They don't operate by grace. See, grace is freedom. It is a freedom to walk and follow God without guilt. I don't know enough. I don't know enough, but He knows it all. I'm relying on His grace. He said, if I lack wisdom, I can ask Him. So if I do need, He'll give me the help I need. He already said He would. I'm not trying to get Him to give me help. He already said He would. And see, as we get that in yourself about the grace of God, it is so good from the standpoint, it leaves me at freedom. You know, I wish a lot of people would grab a hold of that when that minister said, I get money by faith. In other words, his faith, I know where it was in the grace of God. See, he believed God already gave him the money. He's not giving money to try to meet a mark somewhere that God has set that when he hits the jackpot, one day he puts the quarter in or the dollar in the slot machine and he pulls it. And one day he did it, but you keep feeding it quarters till you get the shot. There's no faith in that. And that's what most of giving is done today. It is no better than a slot machine. Go away from that because there's a weight and a burden. There's no freedom. You can always tell this. You can't have freedom when you're always trying to work to get something God says is yours. There's no freedom in that. You know, you go to work, you're paid by an hourly wage, you have to be there so many hours to get that. That's earned. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. We're not talking about the grace of God there, but we're talking about where you work at or what you're doing. But we're dealing with God. God has already deposited your paycheck before you went to work. And he says, draw on it. And people are saying, no, I got to put all the hours in. Got to put all the money in. I got to do all the stuff. See, this is what I learned as a young Christian. I would listen to these ministers. I've seen ministers do this. I've seen them really neglect their families financially to keep ministry running. And I wouldn't do that. I went to God when I was a young Christian and I said, if you can't take care of my family, I said, I'll work for you and do anything you want me to do. I said, I will. But if you don't take care of my family, I said, I ain't working for you. I know I go to work just like a sinner does. I can go to work, get any job. I'm a good worker. I ain't going to have no trouble getting a job. You see, how many of you work for the place that you work for? You have to put money into it so you can have your job. Well, God is the worst employer in the world to most of Christianity. Christianity, we're trying to support God because He can't make it run. And He's taking things. I can truthfully say that for Wanda and I. God has only given to us. He's never taken. I freely give to God, but He don't take it. He don't take from me. I freely give. I give because I want to. See, this takes the weight of Christianity off of it. Everybody's trying to please God today. He's this miserable old man that we're trying to keep happy. He is so perfect and he's pointing a finger at everybody all the time and nobody can ever be happy. We're just trying to get past. You know, the world, I mean, they listen to church talking. You know, the church is sitting around talking all this stuff. How did this happen? This mess is because of God. And we're trying to get them to turn to God. Dear Lord, it pushes me away. It's like, who wants this God? No, it's we got this freedom. Now, I want you to tell you this. I know this, if, and this will go online, but I know if there's some people, if they see this and they listen to this, and oh my God, there's things I'll hear. Because, oh my God, you know. Well, you think you're controlling God? No, I don't think God has been out of control for a long time. And to the church, he's totally out of control because they cannot understand something that somebody gives freely. They cannot understand it at all. They can't understand the goodness of God. They talk about the love of God, and most of them, their God's miserable. He's loving. He's miserable. They never know he's going to do what he likes and don't like. You know, never get, don't know if you get your answers, prayer to your answers. You know, you're praying and sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes. Who is this God? Why bother, spend all your time praying and don't even know if you get an answer? And then he has the nerve to ask you to pray. what kind of thing is that grace? You know, but people go through all those works. It is works in the church, trying to find the thing that'll make him happy. I found out what really makes God happy. And I'm going to, you want to know what it is? It's a big secret. It's faith in the grace of God. That's what makes God happy. Your faith in what he did that you didn't earn. And you know what makes him really excited? He gets to give it to you. God's excited to be able to bless his children. When I probably wasn't born again no more 5 or 6 years, the Lord spoke to me about that one day. He said, if my children only understood how much I love to bless them, how excited I am that I can do that. People don't know that. The church world as a whole, most spirit-filled people don't know that. They're all trying to earn. They don't realize how excited that God is on the giving side. He's not holding back. Religion always holds us back. Religion always puts it in this place. You're not quite good enough. You didn't do everything right last week. And the week before. And one time you did this. And one time, and we can always remember all the things that we did. But people don't remember all the things that God did. They lose that. Things that God isn't responding to me based on my performance. He responds to my faith on his performance. Faith is about God's performance. It's not about yours. Get that. If it relies on your performance, your faith can't work. At my best, my performance isn't perfect. You know why? You are operating through a dead in sin body. Nobody operates perfect. Even in any gifts of the Spirit that operate through us, we don't operate in perfection. Because we're operating it through a death-doomed body, so there's things, and we're limited in knowledge and things, but God still keeps manifesting. He don't change what he does. Why? He doesn't do it by our works. He does it by grace. And so we respond to grace. So grace is wonderful. Grace is the most great thing that's ever happened. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we're not looking for God for a paycheck. He's already deposited to our account. What we do is respond to grace by faith and draw ever out of the account we want. It's already there. It's in your name. It's already. See, you have an inheritance. Do you know how an inheritance is given? How do we get an inheritance? Doesn't somebody have to die? So somebody dies and they die and they write out this covenant, is it really a covenant? What is, of who belongs to what belongs to whom person? Okay? Now, if your name gets on a thing, you might get something. So whatever you get from that. Now, the scripture tells the New Testament, our inheritance, what we got, is everything Jesus got. We're co-equal, it says, with him. Well, see, the covenant is already enforced because he died. We're not trying to enforce the covenant. Now, if you went before a lawyer, see, this is about grace. If you went before a lawyer and he sat down and read what was on that, you know, will and testament of that individual and tells what it is, well, maybe, would you expect that you're going to have to perform some great thing to get that? Is there a certain amount of money that you're going to have to give to get that? So you go in there, you had inherited $10,000, but you got to give $20 to get it. We don't want to preach that. Somebody else, some of these preachers hear that, they'll start telling you, they'll get over on it. Gee, this is double or nothing. I get double, you get nothing. But I want you to, you know, get a hold of it. See, you don't have to. That was given. It's the same. That's just why the Bible tells us. What is the purpose of being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? If you don't have the same inheritance, what good's the seat? Give that one up. Go home. It's of no value without the authority of that seed. And everything that's in that seed is what belongs, his inheritance. He inherited everything from his Father. And when we receive him, we inherited the same as he did. We're co-equal heirs. The Bible says we're co-heirs, but if you look at what it really means in the Greek, we're co-equal. The church is co-equal with Christ. See, we want to get that in because we're dealing in heirs of grace. How good is this covenant? Has it been given, or do we have to try to work to get? Would you think you work to get an inheritance that was given? No. I don't understand how the church keeps playing this game. I don't get it, because it's basically a work system to get it. You don't have to work to get this. It's already yours. When people don't walk and live like, it isn't about works. What it is about their faith. Their faith loses the ability to grab a hold of the things that belong to them. It isn't God, because it's already given. It's them. They do things that destroy their own faith, and they don't have the ability to grab a hold of the stuff that belongs to them. See, this is one of the things you don't want to live in sin. Because sin's a faith destroyer. And it gets a hold of you, and here what was given to you, you can't get your hands on it anymore because you can't trust grace. You don't want to go there. So you don't want to go that work stuff and that thing. That's just why you want to walk in love and walk in line with the Word of God. You don't want to have anything that destroys your faith. God ain't the faith destroyer. He's a great faith builder. He gave faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He don't say if you don't listen to the Word, he takes your faith away from you. They don't say that, does it? See, he's never working against you. I found out sometimes I was my own worst enemy. You were ever in that position? Sometimes we get there. But hallelujah, grace will deliver you from that. Hallelujah. Now, Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, the Galatian church in Galatians 2 and verse 16, we're going to read. Now, the whole book of Galatians really is dealing with a people who started off by faith and grace and went to law and went back to works. And Paul, you know, there's some really powerful things said in there about going. When you leave faith and you shut grace off to yourself. That's what they had done. Now, you don't want to ever do that. See, this is with people. This is why people, you always want to keep people walking by grace. Galatians 2 verse 16 says this, that knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, justification, that word also can be translated right. The only way you can have righteousness is through faith in Christ. Grace can give you righteousness. Law can't. You can never perform works to become righteous or justified before God. He says, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not in the works of the law. For the works of the law, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, he's talking here basically about salvation, being born again. But that principle stands true of grace in any period, whatever it is you're standing for, whether it's healing or not. You're not going to get it by works of the law. Not going to do this. See, there's much of Christianity today we've got over in things, and I've watched it from when I first came in the kingdom. And I started to see this as people started to get over into diets and all this kind of stuff. They're trying to do in life by works, by eating every right thing and doing all this kind of, what God said that he did through grace for us. Now, that doesn't mean you sit and eat candy all day or ice cream all the time. The Bible's clear on the things about, things. We're not supposed to be bound to any certain thing. We're not supposed to get in bondage to it. This is the wonders of grace. There's one thing I found out, eating all the right things. Don't make you more spiritual. It don't do all this, all the things that people are trying to do by doing all this stuff. It's Yielding to the grace of God is what works. Works. You know, well, God, what am I going to do? When I'm going to go to God, just like with the giving thing, I gave so much money. Lord, I've been eating all the salads and I've been eating all the chicken and I've been doing. What am I going to do? Say, Lord, why ain't it working? See, we go to the same legalism. We go right back to it. And then we ask God to come and help us in our works. We don't go by grace. To God, God's grace, we're trying to attain. See, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it says, is quickening your mortal body. Is it or isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what, it is if you have faith in it. It doesn't. If you don't, it ain't working. You can have the Holy Spirit in you and he does nothing. It's faith is all, grace is always responded to by faith. I don't care what the scripture says, and if you can quote it, you got to believe it and walk around and say it. Amen. See, the Spirit's in me making me alive. I'm being made alive. Do you see it? No. Does it seem like your body might be telling you, my words, I want to drop over. What are you saying? I want to drop over. I just want to drop over. I'll tell you. Let me give somebody a call and tell them I want to drop over. Stop and say, you know what? The grace of God's working me. The Holy Spirit, he's quickened. He's making alive my mortal body. Body, you're going to have to get aligned with the Spirit within you. Body, start talking. You know, talk to your body. See, we have this bit of talking to mountains. Well, talk to your body. Your body ain't no different than that mountain. It isn't a bit different. We talk to it. We tell our bodies. You know, we have standards today that we set of, you know, what's right, healthy. See, I can go to God and I can ask him because I eat the right lunches and I do all these kind of things. This stuff is so tied into the church, and church has so much of it. I ain't got nothing to do with nothing. The church loves works. We love works. It's hard. This grace stuff is just a misery to us because we talk about it, but the church doesn't know anything about it. It's the easiest part to operate in it, but it's which pushed away the most. And the brighter people get, the more they want to show their works. The more they think they're smart spiritually, then, you know, I want to show it off all I can do. I want to show off all God can do. There's a big difference. You know, I don't mind telling them God did it. It's God working. It's God did this thing. See, people keep wanting to cheat. They want to get the trophy. Now, give me the trophy for the work. And God will leave you out there and you get a wall full of your trophies. The Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain at building. And now Kenneth Hagin used to say this all the time, and never does say that they didn't build it. But, hey, people have built spiritual castles and they ain't worth spit. They will have no reward for any of it. There's people who stay in the ministries will have no reward for their ministry because God did build it. They built it. They build it following after what man wanted and man's things and man's stuff and on their great, you know, I did this and we did that and we did this. Say, where was God? Well, you know, he helps us. He's a hired hand. We got him. He's not the architect. He's not the master builder. He's just, he's a guy. He works for us. Hallelujah. So, the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, James made this statement in James 2:24. I want to read this to you. James said, you see then that a man is justified by works. James said this, dealing with the areas of works. And we want to sort of contrast between this because James made this statement and some people take it wrong because he made it say, he said, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now the scripture we just read tells us man is not justified by works. James said that. Now here's one of the reasons why we have this. People say, well, there's a contradiction there. James said you have to have works. And now we have over here, Paul said, no, you don't do it. That isn't how you get it. This is why, is when we teach the Bible, and I said there's not really a lot of textual teaching anymore where they go down through and find out it's used in its context. Because both these men are writing what they said, but both are writing to two different groups of people and dealing with two different subjects, two different things about grace. And we want to see this as we go down here. Because they're speaking to it. Paul was writing to people bound in Mosaic legalism. In Hebrews, he wrote through these, and you'll find the things that he said, but you'll find this all through it. Paul writing to churches, lots of times is dealing in the book of Hebrews. He's writing to Hebrews about their legalism. And Jesus Christ, the difference between the ministry of the high priest of Jesus Christ and the priesthood of the law. And he writes between it. Now here it is, because see, he's writing in that area. James is writing to people who are spiritually lazy. So this was to the Church of America. They were talkers, not doers of the word. People who were talking about being saved, but not doing saved things. See, it's a total difference. Now, because we want to see, and we're going to be a contrast. Paul's talking about works that proceed, the works that precede salvation. So in other words, the works we're dealing, he's talking about works and men trying to earn salvation. Something that precedes salvation. There's nothing that can precede, your works can't precede your salvation. Paul's trying to tell them that. Your salvation came without any works at all. So you can't earn your salvation. But now once you get your salvation, James writing to this, he's talking about works as a result of salvation. When you got saved, it should have changed your life. See, this is why, number one, I never believe in people saying they're saved and there's no change in their life. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe in, I don't believe that grace is so weak. Why was grace work good in my life, but in some people, it just don't. Grace is just lame and can't produce anything. See, we have to deal with these subjects, and see, they're not dealt with in people. Salvation changes you.
That's right.
I mean, I thought first that something was weird about me, and then I heard Kenneth Hagin say this when I was a young Christian, because see, I got saved and changed life, and I'd hear these people say, they're a Christian, and I think, yeah, and I've never seen anything in their life even looks like a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. They said it just lived crazy. I thought, man, either I got something special or I got something weird. I'm serious. I didn't know which side of the thing it was on. I said, what is the difference in it? And then Kenneth Hagin made this statement. He said, you know, he said, if I get around a person who says they're saved, but they don't know if they are, they weren't. He said, I can't relate to him. He said, I don't know on earth they're talking about. He said, I've never had that problem. He said, I have no place to relate to them. There's a lot of times things that Christians sometimes come to me for counseling. People come and ask questions, and I think, I can't relate to what they're even talking about. I don't even know what it is. I have never, it's like with me, I got saved and knew I was saved. I mean, you pass from I became a changed man besides my ability. Well, why would it be? Why would it change me? Why would I be changed? And other people got the same salvation and it doesn't change them. Now, understand this. People start off, nobody becomes a totally mature Christianity by getting saved. You have to grow into it. But I want to tell you what, when you get saved, there should be some kind of change. I don't understand people get saved. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to be around Christians. They don't want to buy, they don't, I'm a Christian. Well, they're going to have a terrible time if they get to heaven because they ain't going to be running around anybody. They're going to be running around with all the people in hell. That's where they're going to want to be. They're not going to like anybody that's in heaven because they didn't want to be around them up there. It's like, I don't understand. It's like with me, when I got saved, I had this desire for things of God. I started getting this desire for stuff. I found it was really a strange, strange thing myself wanting to do. Run around this thing and drink, and I'll say, I don't want to be doing this no more. I don't want to go there with this thing. Now, I knew it wasn't something I worked up. I had went through the trying to stop drinking. I had went through in my life of the tries to quit smoking, to try to quit this, and to try to quit that. And you know what? I wasn't very successful. You can ask one. I wasn't very successful at all. But you can go through all this. But I found out, see, there was grace did something in me outside of my ability.
Amen.
Most people never put grace to work, so they never see anything happen outside of their ability. Oh, you need something. Because I'm going to tell you what, you ain't got enough willpower to change everything you need to change in your life. There ain't enough willpower to do it. And you better decide that. Willpower many times is good to have, but when it's used just for works, it is one of your most destructive things. You got to learn willpower. I use my willpower to stand in faith with God. But you know what? I don't try to overachieve God with my willpower. I don't use willpower as a way to bring things to press. I use faith in Jesus Christ. And I set my will in faith in Him instead of setting my will to perform my own things. I'm trying to do it. You know, people say, I'm trying to believe God. That's works. That's using my ability to try to believe Him. Why don't you use grace and just trust Him? The Bible says God gave every one of us a measure of faith. You already got some. Why don't you just put the faith to work and quit trying to, I'm having a hard time believing. Oh, then you're not a believer. Is that what it is? I've asked people that already and they really look at you dumb because they done told you you're a Christian. But I just don't have faith. I just look at them and say, gee, isn't that interesting? You're a believer. I don't have any faith. That's an exciting thing. That's a new one. Let's write a book about that. See, we have faith. We just don't use it in building. People don't. It's already been given to you. You couldn't. God gave you faith, or you couldn't have got born again. So you must have faith. And He says it gives every one of us the measure of faith. Now, what do we do with our measure of faith? Sit around and talk about not having faith. See, that's not relying on grace. See, God gave you everything you need to succeed. He's given me everything I need to succeed. I just cut it short sometimes, just like you do. But He's given us everything to succeed. Don't ever look at that and say, oh man, I've been messing up. If you go there to that, you've already lost. No, it's like, man, I found out how to make it work. Hallelujah. This is the difference of people who succeed in the failure. The failure always looks at their own failure and just feels sorry for themselves. Oh, I missed it. I did. Instead of, when you hear something that's good that you could have, I don't care how you've been missing it for the past 30 years. Say, I found out how to get it. I found out how to get it.
Amen.
That's what you do. I found out how to get it. Now I know how. Oh, it's mine. Instead of, oh, I've been missing it now for 20 years and I just can't do it. I always mess up. And no, when I hear something, I say, wow, now I know what to do. Hallelujah. We got the answer. Hallelujah. I maybe 30 years didn't get it, but it ain't lasting that long no more. Hallelujah. We're getting it now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul was talking about salvation, which dealt with our relationship with God. James was talking about justification before men, which is our witness in the world. Our actions, our walk. Grace performs wonderful things. It'll do something. It changes your life. And see, have that expectation that it'll change your life. Don't get over the things. I just have a hard time changing. People say that kind of stuff. Well, you just said it. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. You ain't changing. You just used your faith instead of for grace. You used it on your own self, under your own ability, and said, no, I ain't changing. You don't do that. See, there's got to be a really... This is why grace seems to be hard to people grabbing a hold of, because people get set in a way and in a mode and we do things. We don't see ourselves as rich, blessed, and everything that God has been given to us. We're all trying to get that, and one day we'll get to heaven and we'll have it. And no, you won't. The Bible tells us that people aren't going to get all the rewards. Some people ain't getting no reward at all getting to heaven. There's some people going to have a lot of things in heaven and some ain't. Some people, it says, their works here. See, our works here and how we live in this earth determine what we have on the other side. It determines the reward of the other side. The Bible teaches it. New Testament teaches it. Now, we don't do that. We say about, it's all, you're just getting by. Well, there's a lot of people who are going to be ashamed. The Bible talks about ashamed of meeting Him at His coming. There's Christians who are going to be ashamed when Jesus comes back. Why? Because now they're going to get, there's a judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be fire there to burn up works. And if your works are the good stuff, they don't burn up and you get reward. But if you went and all your works with the flesh and following the flesh and dealing with the flesh, they all get burned up. It says you're saved, but no reward. You know what? That's going to be a hard thing to get to heaven. And Jesus can't reward you other than, whew, you made it. Now, it is nice you made it. But remember, this deals with eternity. This reward's about eternity. It isn't something reward. I'll just make it all up when I get there. Mm-mm. See, many Christians don't realize they get to heaven. They're not going to have, they're just going to be, I just made it. I haven't walked with Jesus. I haven't walked in love. I haven't done what I was supposed to do. I haven't done none of that. They got salvation, but we're supposed to want more than that. You know, it's like I always told people when I worked with you get all these dumb people right here. Well, I wouldn't have them with this job. They want too much of you. I said, I go to work for money and I take whatever job it'll pay the most. I don't come here to have, you know, and I said, if I didn't need the money, I wouldn't come to work. I said, I go to work to make money and I take the jobs that work that make the money. That's the one I want. If it takes more responsibility, and I found this out in life, if you don't like responsibility, you'll probably never have a lot of money. Money follows responsibility on jobs. When you shirk responsibility, you're usually shirking money. And I find people say, well, I don't want the responsibility. I said, I'll take it. I said, you know, if I can't make it, they'll turn around and let me know, but let's get the paychecks while we can. Why not? What do we do? What do we do? Are we serving God? What's the matter with me serving for reward? Why would he offer me reward? And I find it some kind of terrible thing. I'm serving Jesus for reward. Well, what else are you serving him for? Well, why are you serving? Why do we walk and live this right life? What is it? We want to bless people, but we want reward. And he says, you walk out here, you walk right, you got reward coming. Hallelujah. That's me. Chase the reward. Go for the reward. Don't be the, let's just get by. Let's just be, I'll be Mr. Just Get By Christian. Let's just do that one. That'll work good. Paul was writing against Mosaic legalists. Works caused your salvation. And James was writing about fighting Christian Orthodox. These were people that are not acting on their faith. They're not using faith. Faith is used for the grace of God. That's what it is. That's how we do. You speak to that mountain. Do you ever think about that? Jesus says about it, you say this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. You don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you'll say to come to pass. If you ever sit down and think that and think that somehow you're going to bring that to pass, man, good luck. That has to be by grace. That's the only way. The mountain doesn't move because of me. The mountain moves. I have faith in what God will do.
Amen.
When I have faith in what God will do, He does it. He does it. If I have faith in the grace of God, if I have faith in what He said I can do. That's why with Mark 11:24, when He turns around and said, whatever thing you desire when you pray, think about it. He said about you desire, what you do. He didn't say what He desires. Why? He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. What do you desire of that? What do you want of that? Whichever one you desire. I'm so tired of hearing Christians. They'll ask you to pray and they said, I only want whatever God wants me to have. And I'd say, well, I won't be praying then. If you don't know what God wants you to have, you can't pray by faith. And I ain't got the time. I wasted enough time in life. I've done enough wasting time without trying to get into that nonsense. Don't go to that nonsense. That's a bunch of nonsense. Well, I only want what God wants me to have. Well, read the Bible. It's all good stuff He wants you to have. I mean, only what He wants me to have. Well, I'm sorry, you ain't going to find your name there. Can't find my name in the place. But I done read that all the spiritual blessings are already mine. So I just thought that I'm just sort of stupid like that. I just don't. And I didn't bother trying to look up to change the translation at all. I just thought, this sounds so good, I'll keep it this way. That I already get all the blessings. I already have them. They already belong to me. That's it. Let's just keep it there. So, and he says, what do you desire? Well, what do you want? Although that word there also can be trained if desire is require. What do you require? He asks you what you require. He didn't say what I require. Now you're down here working for God. What do you require? I've told the Lord. The Lord has spoken to me about doing things. I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'm going to need this or I'm going to need that. You're going to have to do that. That's your part to do. You're going to have to do that. If you don't do that, I don't have to do my part. Do you understand you don't have to do God's part if He don't do His? See, Christianity today runs on the things. We're trying to do all these things to get God to, trying to move Him to do something. God is a moving. God has already decided the move. He's already decided what He wants to do. He's already decided what He wants to bless you with. He's already decided all that. We're not trying to stimulate Him. Like He's sleeping and we got to shock Him or something to wake Him up. Or, you know, or He got hit with a stun gun and He can't do nothing. You know, He just... You know, we got to break away from some of these ways of thinking. I'm going to end here. We want to talk in Ephesians 2 and verses 8, starting in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. A very easy thing concerning dealing with the salvation and works. Paul talks about them, puts them together, which is really good. In Ephesians 2, and starts at verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God." Your salvation, what you got, this grace of God, all that's in grace, all that God has given you, and God's favor, understand, is in that grace. God favors you. You know that. When you got into grace, grace has the favor of God. God favors you. See, anybody can stop and say, "You know what? I'm one of God's favorites. I'm one of His favorites, because He favors me." You know, there's Christians who walk around and say God favors them. I know there's people got upset that Rodney McLean used to say, "I'm God's favorite kid." He said to God, I'm God's favorite kid. People used to get upset at him with that. The people, every time I knew this, that got upset about it, they didn't know about favor at all. And he was more favored than they were because he was responding to it. He's acting like he's favored, and they're whining and playing their little religious games and saying their little religious talk, and you know, well, he shouldn't talk like that. He ought to get like me and get nothing from God. I'm so humble. Kenneth Hagin said one time to a guy came and told him back years ago, and he was on the road traveling, and he would buy Cadillacs to drive in because, I mean, this guy would put a lot of miles on vehicles to drive. If you're going to do as much driving as he did, you want a comfortable vehicle. You don't want to drive the Chevy. You want to drive something better. Back in those days, he drove a Cadillac, and a guy came to him at a meeting and told him, you know, this being too haughty, you shouldn't drive a Cadillac. You ought to drive a Chevy. And Brother Hagin said to him, he said, "Look, I'm not going to criticize you because you only have Chevy faith, so don't criticize me because I have Cadillac faith." Amen, amen. You know, but the guy needed to hear that. Now, there's some people dumb, and you know, you just smile and pat them on the head and go on, don't say nothing to them. But you know what? There's too many dumb people out here, and they need told about things because it's destroying them, their life. They're, you know what? Things aren't working for them, and they want everybody to come down to their level. They don't like to see people achieve over them. They don't like that thing in the Bible. When you see a person honored, you get excited because they got blessed. You get excited. They don't do that. There's a lot in the church world don't like that at all. People getting blessed. Well, our salvation, he said, that it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now listen to what he says in verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Now I want you to know that word workmanship there is the Greek word where we get the word artisan, or like an artist making something. In other words, this is not just workmanship like, you know, a carpenter just building something. This is something that God has modeled and made. That's what we are. we're not, you know, we're like the sculpture. You know, we're like somebody that made, an artist that made something that you put on display. That's what the church is. You know, the New Testament talks about God putting the church on display. You see, we need to get, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for this purpose, for good works. We weren't created by good works, we were created for it. You weren't created by good works. Good works never created you, but you're created for good works. In other words, grace will help you do good stuff. It'll help you live a good life, do right, walk right. That's what grace does. We're creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God's provided a place, a way for us to walk, but we need to understand this. He's given us the ability through grace to walk in it. You're not walking in it by now my willpower. I'm just going to try. I'm going to do my best to stay away from sin. Well, you'll be in sin tomorrow. No, grace will help you rely on the grace of God. It's like we use a scripture from Romans where it, Hebrews where it says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy to, and find grace to help in time of need. Did you notice that the mercy was needed for the sin, but grace will keep you out of trouble. There's grace to help in that time of need. In other words, so you don't have to keep coming back for mercy all the time. So that thing gets taken care of. That's what grace is about. People get into sin because they don't live by grace. That's why. It's very simple. Because it requires the grace of God for us to live God, the God life. You can't do it by your ability. Look at Israel. Could they, with the law and all their works they tried to do, how well did it work out? Did they do so good? God said, well, we don't need another covenant. We can just keep this one up. This one's working really nice. My God, Israel gets called into captivity. They get most of their people killed off. The misery that Israel went through. God gave grace so we don't end up in that place. Man, see, great man, if man understands grace, he never starts another religion. Amen. See, people today, because they don't live by grace, they come over and they say, God loves everybody, so everybody's okay, whether no matter what sin they're in or no matter, God love, we're all going to go to heaven together. See, that's the area. See, God loves us. Our works and stuff, we can just do anything we want. They have to do that. They don't know how to get to grace. Grace is the only thing that will cause a person to live better. That's the only thing that will do it. Amen. If there's anything better, Jesus Christ wasted his time. It was worthless. It wasn't worth spit for him to die on the cross and be raised from the dead if grace doesn't give isn't what fixes life. If it isn't, if it can be done another way, what a waste of time. Hallelujah. Well, I don't think Jesus wasted his time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God for grace. We'll go on. We're going to continue next week. We'll look at some of these other things on the areas of dealing with grace. But as you see it, I just want you to get a picture of how good grace is. All of us are continuing looking into it. Nobody knows. We don't see it in its fullness yet. When Paul wrote and said, First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, he said, you know, we only know in part, we testify in part. We see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. You know, some of them I think are darkly because grace is so good. And especially religion has taught things and messed it up so much that it is so good. Sometimes it's hard. Is this really that good? Is grace really that great? Is grace really that? Is God really that gracious? Is he really that favored toward us? Because you get over there and look at that. It's hard to believe because this is one thing as I found out is walking down this road of grace. When I first got saved, I went through a very difficult time because first I got saved and I saw things about God and grace and the goodness of God. And I was all excited about it. And I got around Christians and some Christians I got around, I thought, I wondered what on earth was going on and what's happening. I thought, man, are any of these people saved or whatever? What is going on? And you sort of get over on that side and think, how did I get here and how did all them stay down there? Well, then I got over in the thing and I started thinking, because this is what happens. And you'll find this. You surely start walking. You find you're not the norm. You're not the norm of the Christian crowd. You're not. I've walked in this all my Christian life. And I got around thinking after a while, I must be nuts. Something's wrong with me. I went for a period of time thinking, man, what is going on with me? Because everybody's telling me, you get too far out there. You go too far with God. You got to come over here and be more like with us. You know, you don't live carnal enough. Something's wrong with you. You got to start practicing more of what we do. I mean, preachers. Pastors telling you, you just get out there, you're too far, this stuff. And I think, oh, dear, after a while, I started wondering, man, are they right? Am I not? And then I was given a tape to listen to. It was Jerry Seville. And I got a Jerry Seville tape. And I'll tell you what, this was God's grace working, God getting a message across to me, because I'm asking him, God, what's wrong? I don't know, am I right or am I, where am I in all this? And I got my answer. Jerry Seville said, he said, when I got saved, he said, I was just on fire for God. And he said, I was just after it. And he said, man, everybody's trying to cool me down. Everybody's trying to stop me. Everybody wants me to become something less. And he said, this is what it was like. He said, it was like I got in a boat, and he said, I'm required to paddle upstream. And he said, I'm paddling upstream to do everything I can. I'm paddling upstream. And he said, I'm paddling and I'm working away. And he said, all these Christians, everybody else in the Christians community, they're all just floating in their boat. They're not paddling. They're just sitting in and going with the current, going down through. And they're always saying, don't go up. Come with us. No, just come with us. He said, get over here. No, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. I thought, that's exactly what I'm going through. That's what exactly. And he said, you know what? I stayed at the paddling. And he said, after a while, I got a sail. And he said, after a while, he said, I wasn't paddling hard anymore. And he said, I'm just going upstream. But he said, most all the rest of Christians are going downstream. That's when Randy Greer made this statement a few years ago and said, He said, if you watch 80% of the church and look at the direction they're going, he said, just going the opposite direction. He said, you, this is not seeking God or anything. He said, you'll probably be going the right way. And we have a lot of that today. See, it's the fact, you know, just being our desire here is to, we learn, want to learn more about it. We're after God. You're not the norm. You know, I was around church and they had all these home groups. And all the home groups were, oh, this is about, it's about physical fellowship. Oh, this is about getting together and talking to each other. And this is how fellowship is made. You know, fellowship is made through God. And you get to them, nobody grows up in them things. Nobody grows up in those things that go on. We can all fellowship with each other and do things and eat meals together, have a good time and laugh at each other. But I would say the church can't be built around that. That isn't what makes, see, they went over and got this thing off of Cho. Now when Cho was still alive, he's a Korean, he had a million member church in Korea, South Korea. He had a million member church. And he ran it on home groups because of the fact of it was difficult to get everybody together. It was a difficult thing. But see, you're talking about a whole difference in culture. If you go in the Oriental cultures, they're very rigid in their life. You give them something to do. That's what they do. They, you know, it's like me. When I was in Vietnam, I taught Vietnamese in electronics and how to repair field radio equipment and all that kind of stuff. And working with them, you could get like 3 or 4 times the amount of teaching done on them in a daytime as you could on Americans. Because they're very, much more disciplined. Their cultures are more disciplined on doing things. They have an idea of hierarchy and how it works, and they say, you know, you're in charge. They listen to what you have to say. And really, those guys were so good. In no time, you could have them working on equipment that I had worked in the same things around American guys, and we'd been working with them for months, and they still couldn't do the stuff that these guys did in weeks. And it's because of their discipline in life. They were disciplined. When you told them something, they didn't question. Well, it was true. It was thing. Let's go do it. And they got her. Well, see, that was what chose people. Chose people. It was about, they were hungry for the things of God. It wasn't about just people getting together, fellowshipping, talking, having some food together, and talking about a bunch of junk. These people were after God. Well, they thought because Cho did this and he had a big church, this is how you get a big church. So these people even got big churches out of this, doing this stuff. But it's all carnal. It's how they got all these carnal churches. They tried to follow the plan. See, they saw somebody do something, but they didn't have the people to do that. God never told them to do that. I know one church that did that, had the home groups, and every home group had different beliefs. Because they never, there's one thing, is that you're going to have people taught well that believe certain things, and you put them in charge of something, or they're going to teach their beliefs. Whoever you put in charge, they're going to teach their beliefs. And they had everything in the world you could think of different ones following different people. They were following after different people and not where the direction of their church was going, you know. You'd go to one of them and they'd like the faith message. The other, the faith message with the devil. You know, the next of this and that. It was all just a big mess of things. It was one of the most big confusing things you would ever see. And it was one of the things that I really want to get across, especially with this meeting here, is getting across the things we need teachers in the body of Christ. We don't have teachers in the body of Christ. We have people just give information. They don't have experience, but teach. But many don't know a lot of things. They're shallow. Too much of teaching is very shallow. And people today don't, there's too many Christians that don't know much. And too many Christians don't even know what to say to the world about anything. You know, I got a call. Somebody wanted me to come to talk to a person. I said, God got a hold of you about this thing. Why are you calling me about it? So you're supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. What am I? What are you? You're calling and asking, God, you want me to? I'm going to come down and see. Pastor Ed has faith and he has a wand, see? And he comes down and makes it work. We don't do that. What we do is we want something done. Let's get the pastor. Let's get the minister. See, this is today. The body of Christ is just full of people who are looking for a small group of people to do all the stuff for them. You don't need the inheritance if you ain't gonna do it. You have no need of it. You don't need the supply. Why would you need every spiritual blessing and heavenly place in Christ Jesus if you ain't supposed to do none?
Right.
Now think about it. What would you need all that for? Why? In other words, we want a developer. We can tell you, we can minister to people. See, there's one thing about it. You always get the minister itself to go do it. You know what the person believes? Only the minister can do these things. And you know, why should I get saved? I can't do them. No, it's when the everyday person goes and does it and they say, oh my God, God works through everybody, don't they? See, we got to get back to that. That's why you have to know subjects so you can talk to people about them. So you can talk to people. You need to know. You need to understand subjects that you can talk to people. Then you can sit down and say, hey, sit down here. They say, well, I don't have time right now. And I look them in the eye and say, well, just forget it then. There ain't no point. We go on from here. Ain't that important to you? It's definitely not important to me. Goodbye.
Amen.
See, everybody today, we're on this fast track thing. You know, hurry up, give me what I want and that stuff, getting out of here. Pray for me, I'll get healed. I'm going to head home. I'm going back down, you know, and my friends are waiting for me and we're going to go do something. I just need to heal so I feel all right while I'm with my friends. You know, people don't want to hear it. You've got to learn to, we got to bring people to faith. We have to bring people to God. The people's concept today of God is so messed up. It's totally unbiblical. Hallelujah. But God can turn that around through His people. Amen?
Amen.
That's us. Father, we just want to thank You tonight. Father, You're so wonderful and good and kind and merciful and You're incredible. Hallelujah. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord God, as we're teaching this wonderful subject of grace and how good it is. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God, for blessing us so much. Lord God, we're not trying to get You to bless us. You've already done it more than we understand it. Hallelujah. But we thank You. Give us revelation of this grace. But Lord God, we want to pass it on to others. We want others to know and understand. Father, I thank You to raise up teachers in the church. Raise up teachers, people that can take the Word of God and can speak it, Lord God. People that can carry it to others and tell them, hallelujah. Anointed people of the Word of God, hallelujah. Father God, we need them. Lord God, You said, Jesus, You said we're supposed to pray. Just You'd send laborers into the harvest. Well, laborers ain't somebody just out there doing nothing. Lord God, they're doing something. Father, we need laborers in the harvest carrying the Word. Hallelujah. You sent the disciples out. You sent the 70 out. You told them to preach. They were supposed to go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. They weren't just going out healing the sick and dead. They were preaching the gospel. They were speaking words of God to bring people to faith. And Father, that's what we need today. People speaking the Word. Hallelujah. Father God, bring into people faith and we will know with no problem seeing signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus, because faith always produces the glory of God. And so we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.